stand with me, if you would, please. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Thank you. Make sure you have your Bibles open, please. We'll begin there momentarily. All right. Please be seated. All right, here we go. Luke 2. Thank you. All right. Luke chapter 2. Here we go. Want to, real quickly, before we get to the message, listen carefully. We are honored to have Dr. Ray Young with us. Brother Ray, would you stand in the back there, if you would, please? Ray Young is our Vice Chancellor, and it's an opportunity to have him in town today. He travels extensively as a representation of our college to many of our graduates and other friends, and I'm glad you're here. He's been here almost the entire life of the college, except for the first two years, but God has used him in a wonderful way, and those of you who are visiting as sponsors and young people, I hope you'll take the time to see him after the service. He would love to greet you. Luke chapter 2 is in our Bible this morning. It won't take a long time. But I want to talk to you just for a few moments about the Father's business. About the Father's business. Luke chapter 2, we have the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it'll fast forward a few years after he comes back from Egypt with his mom and dad. And of course, you know the birth of the Lord Jesus, born in Bethlehem. They stayed there for a while. The wise men came probably about a year and a half later. They were told to go back and tell Herod where he was. They received a dream from God to don't go back and tell that guy where Jesus is. Let's go on back without telling that. When Herod realized that he was in trouble and there was a young threat to him, he killed all the little boys, 2 years old and younger, in Bethlehem. They got the visit from the wise men. Not only did they receive worship for the Lord Jesus Christ, but they received a lot of financial gain. Gold, silver. They received frankincense and myrrh. They brought to them from the east a large amount of money, which gave Joseph and Mary an opportunity to travel. Before, they were just paupers and probably trying to get construction jobs there in Bethlehem. Now they have a load of cash. And they have a ways to liquidate the things they had received. And they go to Egypt, and they stay out of Israel and in Egypt until the Lord tells them to go back. When they come back, they don't go back to Bethlehem, they go back to Nazareth. And there in Nazareth, that's in northern Israel, he will spend up his growing years. He will go from that little boy, maybe 5-6 years old, up until he is 30 years old. He will become a carpenter in his father's carpentry shop. And then it seems like he was Jesus the carpenter, possibly even having men working for him in charge of a crew or in charge of framing houses and fixing cabinets and hanging doors and doing things with wood as a carpenter would do in that time of history. But there's a silence in the life of the Lord Jesus. There is one episode we'll read about today. It's when he was 12 years old. His parents would make their pilgrimage down to Jerusalem, as anyone in Israel that was a devout and obedient Jew would go down. The men would go down 3 or 4 times a year from wherever they were, and they would make their way down for the Passover and for the other things. But the whole family would go down for Passover and for one of the feasts. And now Mary and Joseph and Jesus and probably some of his younger brothers and sisters that Mary and Joseph had together. And of course, Joseph was not Jesus' father biologically. God was his father, but he would have other brothers and sisters. Could you imagine growing up in Jesus' home and hearing your mother say, "Why can't you just be like Jesus?" whenever you would do something wrong or whatever. But they probably heard that from the mouth of Mary a few times, and maybe even Joseph, because he was the perfect brother. He was the perfect son. He was God in human flesh. But then when he's 12, we have the story we'll read today, and then for 18 years, there's absolutely zero that we know about Jesus except for the fact that he was submitted to his authorities, his mom and his dad, and he kept increasing in four areas: in wisdom and in intellectual wisdom, and in stature and in favor with God, spiritual, and favor with man, socially. So he grew in intellectually, physically, spiritually, and socially. And really, that is, as we are Christians, like Christ, that is really one of the things that all of us need to pursue. And that is spiritual, social, physical, and intellectual wisdom, that we would increase in that area. Hence, Hiles Anderson College. Hence, your local church. Hence, your Christian school. Hence, your home education that you went through. God is in a process of growing us, and Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, but he was at all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He was 12 one time. He was 13 another year. He was 15. He was 18. He was 19. Whatever age you are or ever will be, up until the age 33, Jesus was like us. And he was developing. He was developing those in those four areas, and everybody needs to do that. I remember coming to Hiles Anderson College as a young man, 18. I was the oldest in my family. And I put my footlocker in the back of a trunk of a young man who was coming up here in the parking lot of the Bible Baptist Church in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And I rode up to college. My parents hugged me, kissed me, said goodbye. We wept. We prayed in the parking lot. And they waved as I got in the car and took my footlocker and my garment bag that I laid over the back of that, and brought all my earthly belongings at that time with me to come to college here. Moved in on the first floor of the Malone dorm. Went through the process. But I came here. I was the oldest in my family, the first one to go off to college. And there was a lot of maturation process I needed to experience. And I'd not really lived apart from my family a lot. I did not have all the... that I didn't have it together. I didn't know exactly. I'd been to some schools that were ACE, some schools that were traditional, taking notes and going from class to class and having professors think that the only class I had was the one they had, you know, and I was thinking, they're giving me so much work. Don't they understand I have a lot more work to do? And just tell me what to do, and then to go and find a work and get a job and then pay my school bill. And I remember seeing the financial withdrawal list occasionally come out and thinking, Lord, please help me to do that. And I wanted to tithe. I wanted to make sure I gave an offering. I wanted to make sure I was honest with the Lord. And then got introduced to the bus ministry and work in the bus ministry. And the pressure that came upon my life in those early days, how many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I used to thought naps were ridiculous. Who wants to take a nap? Who wants to sleep your life away? Until I came to college. And then I love naps. Bring them on. My life verse, it's vain for you to rise up early and stay up late. So I just go to bed early and sleep late. Now, no. That's kind of, I just thought, man, life, I'm going to sleep in between my classes if I can. I'll run to my dorm, sleep for 7 minutes, pop up and go back to class. I started valuing. I received a lot of pressure. Pressure that came from me financially, from academically, intellectually, physically, pushing me a little bit to where I was tired. I wasn't used to being that tired. I wasn't used to pushing my body to do those things, my mind, to absorb all the information I was receiving. And then spiritually, seeing people that were in the darkness of sin, walking the streets of Chicago and seeing beer cans and beer bottles and kids who were so malnourished and maltaken care of. They weren't taken care of by their families, and they longing for love, and getting on the bus route and seeing them sit beside me and going to church and meet their families, and seeing the wreckage, and it bothered me spiritually. What am I going to do about this? How can I help these people? How can I be the weekend warrior and go to school and have the pressures of finances and the pressures of academics and all that, and then make an impact in the lives of young people in that little section that I was placed in Chicago, and I grew to love that place. I grew to love those streets of Union and Wallace and Halstead and 43rd and Pershing and 49th Street and a little red shack where I can get a hot dog occasionally if I had enough money, and another place where I can get a gyro, any place where there's food. I just fell in love with it. It was great. Or going over to the Dignan's house, or going over to the Wisniewski's homes, or going over to the Rodriguez's house and being able to see the people. And every week come and they would say, "Hey, Brother John." And I would come by and I'd tell them, "Hey, you guys coming tomorrow?" "Nah, I'm tired. I'm never going again," you know. And it's like, "Come on now, knock it off." "Okay, I'll be there tomorrow." "All right, let's go," you know. Going to the park and playing football or playing soccer or playing basketball with the young men on the route and the men workers that were with me, and seeing and developing the lives of the young people. I was being stretched spiritually. And there was a maturation process taking place that I couldn't see. I was just going step by step, year by year, month by month, school payment to school payment, academic class from this reading assignment and this term paper and the things that I was going through. But God began to develop inside of me. And I'm not the only one. That happened to Brother Douglas too. That happened to Brother King too. That happened to Brother Connell. That happens to anyone who wants to be used of the Lord and wants to be about the Father's business. Luke chapter 2, momentarily, let's look at these principles. I'll say a few things and I think we'll be dismissed pretty quickly. In verse number 40, the Bible tells us this. Would you look at it with me? This is referencing the Lord Jesus. And the child did what? And the child did what? He grew. And he waxed strong, how? In spirit. So spiritually, inner man strength began to develop. And then he was filled with what? Intellectual strength and understanding, not just knowing something, but knowing what to do with what you know. And then, and the grace of God was upon him. He had the help of God. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when he had fulfilled the days, when they had fulfilled the days and they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And they, supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey. They went a whole day out of Jerusalem, going north up to Nazareth. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances, and they said, "Hey, is Jesus with you? Is Jesus with you? Hey, Uncle so-and-so, Aunt so-and-so, have you seen Jesus?" And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Now a whole day back. So they had a day away and now they're a day back. And then the Bible says in verse number 46, and it came to pass that after how many days? They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing, scared to death, sad." And he said unto them, would you read the rest of the verse with me? "How is it that ye..." And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down into them with them and came to Nazareth. And I want you to read the next statement there. And was? But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Would you read verse 52, everyone together? And Jesus... Father, help me. In just going to be a few moments, but I feel like what I'm going to say will be very short, but very needed. I pray you'd please give me wisdom and then give spirit-filled listeners to listen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, when he was confronted by his mother who was afraid, in front of you, many of you have had mothers like that, whenever you can't find you or there's something nervous or she hears something bad about where's going on or you haven't reported back or your cell phone dies out and they haven't heard from you in an hour or something like that. They call back and say, "What are you doing? What are you scaring me to death? What happened? How come you didn't answer your phone?" Well, you could add that to steroids here with Mary and Joseph. They'd gone a whole day walking, a whole day back, another day looking, and they finally turn the corner, get inside a Bible study, and there Jesus, 12 years old, is there with these men, asking him questions, him giving answers, sharing his understanding. Of course, he was very familiar with the Word of God. He wrote it. And so they were amazed at what he knew. And Mary comes to him and said, "Why have you done this to us? Your dad and I have been looking feverishly with great sorrow. We thought you died. Something happened to you. What in the world are you doing?" To which Jesus said, and I don't think disrespectfully, but he said, "Why would you have a hard time finding me? Wouldn't you know I'd be about my Father's business?" You know, I want to just say to everybody, you and I ought to be about our Father's business. Everybody will not be in full-time Christian service, but everybody ought to struggle with the possibility. I was talking to a young lady. She called me the day from Kentucky. I know her dad and her mom, and she's a senior. She graduates on May 17th. The phone rang at my desk, and I was doing some other things, and I saw her name, and I answered it and said, "Hello." And she said, "Pastor, I'm getting ready to graduate from high school." And she said, "I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I'm not sure what I should do." Because I've thought for a long time, I want to be in business and I want to be successful in that area. I've got some siblings who are in that arena. So, but I've been thinking, when I came back this year, it's been difficult times. My home life has changed. I've been really pushed spiritually. I've been out on a little bit of a limb and trying to figure out some things for myself where before someone else kind of thought that for me. And I thought, well, maybe I'll be a counselor. And we have a counseling certificate that we can get through Hiles Anderson. I thought about that. And maybe it's something you have. I don't know. But Pastor, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I told her, as I tell everybody, God will not call everybody to full-time Christian service, but everybody ought to struggle with the possibility. And everybody ought to be about the Father's business. Whether you are a pastor, assistant pastor, a pastor's wife, or a missionary's wife, or a school teacher, or you work in a media at a church, or things of that nature, a youth pastor, is not really relevant to me, nor I think God will direct your path, but everybody ought to be about the Father's business. Now I'll tell you something, it's a responsibility. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It ought to be something everybody says, you know what? My life is here to be about pleasing the Father. Jesus said in John chapter 8, I do all those things that please the Father. Would to God that we had young people today that their passion was not to appease God, not to do what I have to do so he doesn't get really ticked off at me, but to do whatever I can do to please God, to make him delightfully happy. Listen, friend, you're going to be breathing air in this lifetime for 60, 70, maybe 80 years. And if you get 90, you're going to be tired of your body. But you're going to live with the God of heaven for all eternity if you're saved. And all of us ought to be passionate about saying, what did the God of heaven want me to do while I was down there breathing his air, enjoying his sunshine, eating his food, enjoying the benefits that came with being a human being? What did he want me to do? And Jesus said, I do all those things that please the Father. And even at 12 years old, he had more maturity than many people at 30 years old have. He said, Mama, wouldn't you know? You didn't have to look hard for it. You didn't have to look on the soccer fields. You didn't have to look in Wall Street to find me. Where did you think you wanted to find me? I'll be about my Father's business. I'll be doing those things that most please the Father. I only have just a short time on this planet, Mama. Surely you would know that I wouldn't be trying to win a basketball game, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a section of time. Surely you know I wouldn't be chasing the dollar bill. Surely you would know that I would be about my Father's business. And every one of us have to come face to face with, what are you going to do on this planet? What are you going to do with your life? You just going to go out and make a living? Or are you going to help other people live? You're going to go out and feed one person on this planet, and that's you? Are you going to try to let God touch you and break you and bless your life so you can feed multitudes the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ? The Father's business is a big deal. Amen. Because it's our responsibility. I want you to notice number two, it's a reality. It's a reality that you need to face. You don't have to do it. You can do whatever you want. There's just two choices on the shelf. You live for God or you live for self. God's not going to put your arm behind your back and twist you to make sure that you surrender yourself to serve the Lord. That's something you're going to have to decide to do. Your daddy can't do it for you. Your mama can't do it for you. Youth pastor, your pastor, we have dreams for you. We want God to use you. We want you to end your life. Glad I did, not wish I would have. But that's your decision. But it's a reality you're going to have to face. And many of you are going to have temptations far beyond what we can ever imagine to take the exit off the high road of the Father's business. But you're going to have to decide what you're going to do because it's a responsibility, it's a reality. I want you to notice too, it will be rejected. It will be misunderstood. The Father's business, there's a lot of opposition to the Father's business. Mary and Joseph, as nice and as good a people as they were, they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. I'm sure the peers of Jesus were wondering, why don't you just go out and play soccer with us? Why are you staying around with all the adults and studying the Bible and asking these questions? Why are you so serious about your life? And by the way, the Father's business is a serious business. It's the greatest business in the whole world, but it requires some seriousness. And I love it when we have good time in here. This is probably one of the funnest rooms in the world sometimes, 11 o'clock. We have a good time together. But I thank God for people who can balance fun with seriousness. Amen. It's serious business serving the Lord. But it will be misunderstood. I was talking to a man that I had the joy to lead to Christ recently, and his parents are not saved yet. And his mother, he began to tell her and began to share with her some things that are going on in his life. And his mother said to him recently, and it broke him, it crushed him. He said, you mean we've invested in you all these years and all you want to talk about is being saved and Christ and Christianity? So I feel like we wasted our effort on you. Now he's still making good money. We're hardworking. As a matter of fact, increasing in his work. But as far as his family, he goes, no one in our family is like you. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? His mother's not a bad person, but she doesn't understand. Sometimes your boss will understand. Sometimes your mom and dad will understand. Join the club of Jesus. Because the Father's business is something that's a responsibility. It's a reality you have to look in your face and say, what am I going to do with my life? What does the Father want? And then it sometimes will be rejected, but it's also rewarded. It's rewarded with joy. It's rewarded with blessings. Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him. Young people, you study people and you find people who have given their life to the Father's business with sincerity and true love and see how they end their life. See their marriages. See the joy. See the blessings. I have had the joy to know thousands and thousands of people. I deal with them all the time, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. But I've seen a lot of people in their life when I wish I would have done the Father's business. But the ones who did, they're always glad they did. There's a reward in this life, and there's a reward in the next life. He said, there's not a person that leaves father, mother, houses, land that will not reward them 10,000%. What a great rewarding process. Not only this life, but the life to come. The Father's business is a big deal. It is a responsibility. It's a reality. It'll be rejected. You'll have to only overcome your own rejection of the idea. But it's rewarded. And it pleases the Father. I think about this concept oftentimes. I mentioned it last night. A young lady went to a birthday party a few years ago. And at the birthday party, they opened up beer and started giving beer to all these teenage girls. And she got broken heart. She goes, I can't. No, come on. It's okay. We're going to have fun. We're going to do it. She goes, I can't. So why can't you do it? She says, my dad. And the girlfriend says, oh, you're afraid your dad's going to hurt you. She says, oh, no. I'm afraid I'll hurt my dad. I don't want to hurt my dad. And your Heavenly Father is far more reason for us to make sure we're right with the Lord and don't hurt our Father. Do all those things which please the Father. Why? Because His business is the greatest business in the world. So what can I do, Pastor? You can be submissive to God and your authorities. You can be submissive. God will not use a rebel against His authorities. He won't do it. You're a lousy son, a lousy daughter. You're in rebellion against your parents, against the rules. God's not interested. You won't please the Father that way. You won't be, the Bible says, in Joseph was subject unto his parents. Be submissive. And then number two, increase. Keep adding to your toolbox. Wisdom, stature, grow physically, grow intellectually, grow spiritually in favor with God, and grow in favor with men. Learn to interact with people. Learn to put yourself in an environment where you can socially grow, where you can spiritually grow, where you can physically grow, where that you can intellectually and with wisdom grow. So I talked to that young lady today on the phone. I said, girl, if you were my daughter, and she's a precious girl, I know her, known her since she was 13, I would say, give your 13th year to the Lord. Don't leave your house and give it to a place where you can hear God's word, where you can strengthen your doctrinal purity, where you can make sure you get good friends and grow socially and spiritually and make an impact in eternity. And let God help you day by day what you need to do, because it's all about the Father's business. Let's pray together, can we? Father,